You're listening to CBNR, part of the Trans-Canada Network of CBC Radio.
Hi, hello. My name is Paul Moth. From the studios of CBNR, welcome to Sunny Days and Nights. Summer and those intent upon enjoying it are rushing into the area. The dust is up, hammocks are swaying, sales of SP45 and pesticides have taken off. And how many times have I told you kids not to slam that screen door? There's a smile upon the land. Faithful listeners to this program will note that I am not Frank Sunny Day, the host of this show that celebrates its silver jubilee this year. Congratulations all around on that. Unfortunately, Frank, well, enough about that for now. I'm just off the bus this week, a last-minute replacement, new to the area, so please be gentle. Anyway, hello, Canada. It's summer. Let's celebrate. Lay back in the shade with a tequila slurpee. Heave something sanguine on the barbie. Find your place on page 342 of some racy chick-lit offering and nod off. It's a time to do nothing. And that's our beat here on Sunny Days and Nights. That's our constituency here in the sunny days and nights of summer. On that front, I'm joined now by Colby Ashton of Rituxit. No?
No, I'm the author.
The author? I must have confused. If I could just find my notes.
Yes, I am Shirley Scott, the author of 100 Lakes, 100 Stories.
That's a story per lake.
Gee, that hadn't occurred to me, but it's true.
Well, I'm a journalist. You learn to put these things together, huh?
First time in the 100 Lakes region?
Yes, it looks very, very what, boreal? Very sylvan.
Wait till you head east into the valley, Paul. That's when you really get into it.
The cottages, I guess.
Cottages, camping, all the lakes.
Yeah, 100 of them, I hear.
I think that was an estimate.
Oh, not 100 lakes?
Well, there are over 95 lakes.
Well, that presents an editorial opportunity to cut the five weakest stories from your collection. And, here you are. Yes, I found my notes now. You are Shirley Scott, self-published author of 100 Lakes, 100 Stories.
Yes.
A wonderful new collection of tales and legends from the region.
Yes, it's a project.
Now, before we get into the book, Shirley, I see you've brought a basket with you.
Well, I was going to wait until we'd finished talking about my book, but I'd like to welcome you to the area with this gift basket. It's a selection of local goodies and a few things to make you feel comfortable.
Well, what a nice gesture.
There's preserves from the Farmdale Bake Shop.
Mm.
You've got some pork smash.
And I see rinds and smokies. I got a jar of balls. There's a...
Oh. That's a blunderwurst.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
It's all right, I have three boys.
This really is one of the more substantial sausages I've ever encountered, Shirley. It's got real heft.
You'll soon be singing the Blunderwurst song.
I don't doubt it.
You've also got a razor and some underarm deodorant and some Post-its. Mm-hmm.
And this is?
That's a coupon for the lunch buffet at the Jiminy Motor Inn.
Mm. And let's see, a complimentary sample pack of Halcyon from Drops Pharmacy. Those will come in handy.
Tickets to the Pent Haven Players production of Eugene O'Neill's Not Such a Long Day's Journey into Night After All.
The musical. Love summer stock.
And the basket itself?
Beautiful.
Handmade by Chippewyan craftspeople.
In Korea, I see here. You are too kind. Now, the book. Do tell, Shirley.
Each story is associated with a particular lake. We start with Lake Tuscarawas and a First Nations creation myth. The Tuscarawas people's crows, foxes, wolves, etc. Our creation myth. There are some tales from pioneer days.
Fascinating.
And we have one of Hamish Bondi's beloved tall tales, They Sunk It in the Lake.
Mm.
And, of course, the heart of the collection is the tale of...
I'm getting a signal that we are out of time. Unfortunate. Well, two down, 98 to go. I hope we can continue this on a later show. Shirley Scott, bearer of the basket and author of 100 Lakes, 100 Stories, now available in... hundreds of bookstores.
The Sounds of Summer on CBNR, 1770 in Butterton.
I'd better not get this next guest's name wrong. Arthur Ross is National Head of Personnel and Outsourcing with the CBC, and he joins me now with a special commendation.
Paul, glad you were available on such short notice, and we really appreciate you taking one for the corporation. Just tremendous.
Arthur, when you say taking one...
Well, you know, taking over a show that's basically been molded by one personality over many years.
Ah, indeed.
I don't have to remind you of some of our more memorable disasters on that
no,
front.
Oh, you don't, Arthur.
Honestly, in this case, we were back and forth as to whether or not to just pull the plug.
Well, I'm certainly glad you didn't.
It was a close one. We were back and forth on it, back and forth. Yes, back and forth, especially when we started approaching people about the interim host job. A lot of good radio men turned this down, out of respect for Frank Day.
Well, I didn't know Frank at all, so there was no issue of respect. For me, I mean. And I was between engagements and
I misspoke earlier, Paul. A lot of good radio men and women. Just tremendous. With the programming people gone for the summer, we figured, what the hey, instead of trying to come up with something new, let's celebrate 25 years of this great show irregardless.
Well, I suppose now's the time to address what happens to the man of whom you speak, Frank Sunny Day.
Yes, yes, we've been back and forth on this one for weeks. My first thought was to just pretend nothing had happened, blind eye.
Head in the sand.
Why not?
Why not?
But there's a different approach now, a new era of openness, and the resident geniuses in PR have said to just come clean.
It's nothing if not novel.
Well, the thinking is that the quicker you get these things over with, the quicker people will forget about it, and people are forgetting a lot faster these days.
Okay, well, let's begin that bold process of forgetting. I gather that the CBC, magnanimously in my experience, ran a bunch of print ads promoting this show, and this was the beginning of Frank's problems.
Yes, yes, the ads had a publicity photograph of Frank Day, and that's how the complainants recognized him. These alleged, and I stress alleged, financial improprieties.
It's strictly white-collar crimes against property, not
absolutely.
Against the person, right?
Strictly white-collar, right. They're said to have taken place in New Brunswick in the 70s, for Pete's sake, where and when Frank Day was known as Otto Fremcheck.
Frank Day's side of the story?
We don't know. He disappeared from the station just minutes before the police arrived and hasn't been heard from since. It'll probably all turn out to be a misunderstanding.
Mm.
Apparently there have been some sightings in the area, but who knows? Who knows?
Hogo Pogo, Jim Morrison, I mean, people see things all the time. So, Otto Fremcheck, eh?
Yep.
Flim-flam man out of Bathurst becomes Frank Day on CBC. So I wonder how many other CBC hosts are working under assumed names. That Stuart McLean, what kind of a name is that? It's not a real name. It's got to be a made-up name for sure.
Oh, I don't think so. He's very popular.
I know. They do this all the time on the Roundup to generate free content. How about listeners send us their stories about living under an assumed name to evade prosecution? That's living under an assumed name to evade prosecution. We'll give away some sort of prize for stories that we read on the air, and hey, maybe I'll even tell you about my days living as one Nancy Gitton, horticulturalist. That should generate a few letters from Victoria, British Columbia.
Yes, anyway, Paul, we were to present Frank with this clock as a token of our appreciation for 25 years of service here at CBNR.
I could accept on his behalf.
Sure. Whatever.
Thank you. I think that it's an appropriate token, Arthur. After all, there are 24 hours in each day, 7 days in a week. There are 12 hours on a clock face, and I'm sorry, this doesn't make any sense, what I'm saying. Thank you, Arthur Ross.
No, thank you, Paul Moth. Just tremendous.
In Craxton Mills, you're listening to Sunny Days and Nights, broadcasting across the Hundred Lakes and throughout the Greater Valley area on CBNR, part of the Trans-Canada network of CBC Radio.
with interim host Paul Moth. I'm joined now by Julie Secord, technician and associate producer of Sunny Days and Nights. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Paul. Welcome to CBNR.
Thanks. So far, so good. Julie's worked on the show for a number of years now, and she'll be my producer and technical operator, as I said, my seeing eye, as it were. That's actually a pretty clumsy comparison. Julie?
It's time for Swap or Sell, Paul.
Swap or sell one 72 Cranstown, Wisconsin top-loading sugar beet mealer with a Talber. A Talber? Is that good?
Geez, you're asking the wrong gal. I don't know much about it. Cranstown, Wisconsin is certainly the best name in mealers, and you definitely want a top loader, but a 72 or what sort of a Talber? I don't know, honestly.
Well, if this item is of any interest to you, please contact Orv. There's no last name. Orv in Cheapham.
Orv in Cheapham is fine. Now, the Cottage Watch police and safety notes. Is that buzzing in Branly just your bad conscience? Pastor William Dunn's explanation for the buzzing people keep hearing in Branly still seems as good as any. Insects or weather-related phenomena had already been dismissed as causes of the low-level buzzing when Corporal Smith of the Cheapham Detachment...
Cheapham, up Orv's way.
When Corporal Smith visited several homes in the area last Friday to investigate complaints of the noise. Corporal Smith reports having not heard the sound at first, but then later sensing or detecting something faint in the background. Corporal Smith says he couldn't be sure whether he was only hearing it because it had been put in his mind or whether it was the sort of sound that's always there when it's real quiet. The investigation continues.
Up next?
Up next is I'll Be Frank. For our national listeners, it's exciting to say that.
Well, don't get your pee hot. It's only a summer replacement.
For our national audience, oh, I still love saying it, I'll Be Frank was sort of our advice column of the air. People from the county would write in with some dilemma, and Frank would offer guidance.
Well, it seems strange now that he's been charged, but hey, who hasn't made a few mistakes, committed a few misdemeanors, even felonies? Who's to say that that precludes you from giving advice? Hell, in a strange kind of a way, it recommends you. You've been there.
And you have talked yourself into taking on Frank's mantle.
Well, I haven't often been petitioned for advice before, but you'll find I'm game for anything. I'll Be Frank.
Dear Frank, I'm a 16-year-old male. All my pals have girlfriends, and I've gone on a few dates, but I'm not really that interested. If I was to be perfectly honest, I'd have to say that I'm a little more interested in the guys than the girls. Paul, take this, please.
Guys and the girls, I'm very confused about these feelings. I'm wondering, Frank, if I'm gay. How am I going to know for sure? And so writes Gavin Harris, who adds here in a postscript that, he wishes to remain anonymous, but out here in a rural setting, I mean, everybody knows everybody's business. People would figure it out. Well, Gavin, as a however unfulfilled heterosexual man, I can't tell you for sure, but the first place that I would suggest you go to investigate your sexual identity would be a gay bar. Any halfway decent-sized town has one. There, I understand, you'll find a lot of action going down. Are there establishments like that in these parts, Julie?
Well, not as such. There's the Tuesday night sing-along up at the Old Mill on Tuesdays. I don't know what goes on there.
Old Mill. But where you're only 16, Gavin, and not able to visit drinking establishments, you could probably go to a public washroom that has gained a reputation as a place where men barter sexual favors. Toilet trading, I think it's called, or cottaging, as they say in Blighty. This sort of thing is done by such luminaries as Sir John Gielgud, or... who's that guy in the band Wham?
George Michael?
That's him. Also, an old associate of mine, Paul Rubens, once showed a terrible lack of judgment in a movie theater and was arrested. So stay away from all but well-known and established spots. How's that? Not bad, eh?
Time for some music, Paul. Here's a request from Myrna Slater of Hanford Mills.
And it's for Patti Loveless and John Randall singing, Are You Teasing Me?
When we're all alone, dear, and I'm in your arms, are you teasing me? When you're telling me how you thrill
I'm now in the parking lot behind CBNR because it's time for the barbecue guy.
No, it's a barbecue Guy, like the name Guy, like Guy Lafleur.
Guy Lafleur?
Yes.
And today, Guy...
It's a barbecue Guy, like one name. First name barbecue, second name Guy.
Your first name is barbecue? That's unusual.
No, not really, but for the show. My first name is Guy.
Oh, right, okay, getting it now. I see, Barbecue Guy, that you are the head chef at the Maxi Q on Route 222. And today, Barbecue Guy is going to barbecue... You see, right there, that's clumsy. Barbecue Guy is going to barbecue.
They will grill, then. It's a grill.
Oh, okay, that works. Barbecue Guy will grill chicken Capricorn. As we walk to the Barbie unit, perhaps you can tell us something about this recipe that I read here is an original.
It's a fusion dish using the technique and seasoning from the span of the Tropic of Capricorn.
I see, and... Mother of God! What is that?
I use the Helmut Hanover Ram Katsang.
I'm looking at a barbecue, stainless, what, the size of an old Volkswagen Beetle?
Well, it's the top-of-the-line professional grill.
Professional?
Oui.
I thought this was like a recreational thing.
Yes, but I like...
You could incinerate a whole steer on this baby.
Well, the 400 refers to the BTUs that this unit puts out.
400 BTUs?
400,000. Okay, just stand back now, Paul, please.
Wow! You're going to scorch a few chops here, Guy, or smelt nickel?
I have marinated the chicken overnight in the juice of citrus and pawpaw. Now, just before you place it on the grill, dust lightly with coarse salt and cracked pink peppercorn.
And on the side here, this is pretty strange.
The side dish will be grilled tropical fruit kebabs, pineapple, mango, passion fruit, papaya.
Very fruity indeed. Man, these mosquitoes. Note to self, bucket of DEET. Now, Guy, when I ignite the old hibachi, I never dare throw a drumstick or a few wings on there because, well, it's just adding fuel to the fire. Every time I've tried foul, the cursed stuff just comes alight, and the next thing you're dousing the blaze with a root beer or a Pepsi, and then the sugars melt and turn it all black. And once, down in Cuernavaca, I tried to extinguish a little Asada conflagration with mezcal. This was back when I was drinking. And I just about Joan of Arc, the best boy. Put me out, Senor Moth! For the love of God, put me out! Sorry. Back to the fruity chicken.
Naturally, with chicken, we use indirect heat.
Ah.
Also, with the Helmut Hanover, I can introduce moisture into the cooking environment with this infuser.
This is a much better situation than the two-burner I had at home.
And we were based throughout the two-hour cooking period.
2 hours seems a lot.
Well, this way...
How long to boil a bit of chicken and then later roll it around in a bit of barbecue sauce?
I wouldn't know.
I'm just thinking of options for people, you know, in our busy, busy modern lives. Orson Welles loved a bit of boiled chicken.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Naturally, I've prepared some of this food in advance so that we can sample it.
Ooh, it looks good. It looks like you lacquered it here. Not bad. Not bad at all. Still, call me old-fashioned, Guy, but I miss that taste of burnt fat and lighter fluid on food that just says summer. Fine chicken, but worth the effort? Don't know. Guy Barbecue? Just pulling your drumstick there, Guy. Barbecue Guy, thank you.
In tune with summer, you're listening to Sunny Days and Nights, broadcasting across the 100 lakes and throughout the Greater Valley area on CBNR, 1770 in Rutuxet.
Aside from the insufferable heat, I'm loving it up here. Discovering the gentle pace of Penthaven, the lure of Lake Tuscarawas, the names, Butterton, Craxton, Mills, Fairdale. So I'd like to take this opportunity at the end of the show to thank CBC affiliate CBNR for showing confidence in me and my ability to help them celebrate the wonderful silver anniversary of your show. Sunny Days and Nights. Despite my recent history in broadcasting and the fact that this was a last-minute decision, it was one made, I'm sure, in good faith. There remain a few bumps in the road we can smooth out. The relocation fee, the bulk discount that they demand on 10 shows, the universal and perpetual rights in all media. But those needn't affect you. And hey, I know we'll reach an accommodation. And hey, I got my foot in the door. I look forward to meeting as many of the people in the Hundred Lakes region as possible, telling your stories, reading your public service announcements, cutting your ribbons. I promise I will do my utmost to serve the area, the station, and indeed the country. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I promise to put behind me any questions of capacity or responsibility. This is clean slate time here, a new start for you, for me, for Sunny Days and Nights, for CBNR, a new start for CBC. Let's all just get over it, shall we? Much gratitude today to Julie Secord, my associate producer. She pulled all the right strings and pushed all the right buttons. If you'd like more information on the show, you can find it on the internet. We have a website at www.cbc.ca/sunnydays. If you'd like to write us, our electronic address is sunnydays@cbc.ca. And our Post Canada Post address is care of the CBC, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, Ontario, M5W1E6. Julie tells me that as soon as I get a good night's sleep, we're off to the Laurier Reservoir. I look forward to that. My name is Paul Moth, and I hope you'll join us again next week for Sunny Days and Nights.
This is CBC Radio.